Welcome to Chemistry of the Mind, unlocking the brain's secrets. I'm particularly fascinated by empathy today because as a screenwriter, understanding characters' emotions is crucial.
It's how we create compelling stories, right?
Absolutely. And for me, as a podcaster, empathy is key to connecting with listeners, understanding their perspectives, and building a community. It's the heart of communication, wouldn't you say? This exploration of empathy, especially its connection to mirror neurons, is something I've been looking forward to.
Exactly. It's such a complex topic. I mean, what is empathy, really? Is it simply mirroring another's feelings, or is there more to it? And how do these mirror neurons fit into the picture?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? The definition of empathy itself is surprisingly broad. It encompasses everything from understanding someone's perspective to actually sharing their feelings. It's a fascinating mix of cognitive, emotional, and even social processes.
It really is. The input material we're discussing today dives deep into the different types of empathy, too. Cognitive empathy, emotional empathy, there's even somatic and spiritual empathy. It's much more nuanced than most people realize.
It is. And the research on empathy is just exploding. Scientists are looking at everything from how empathy develops in children to how it can be impaired by brain trauma. They're even studying empathy in animals. Can you believe that?
I know. It's incredible. And the ways they're trying to measure empathy, questionnaires, behavior observations, even neuroimaging, it's a real challenge to quantify something so subjective, isn't it?
It is. I mean, how do you accurately measure someone's ability to step into another person's shoes? It's such a sophisticated process, yet the basic capacity to recognize emotions seems to be innate. It's a puzzle with so many pieces.
Right. And then there are the mirror neurons, these fascinating cells that fire both when we perform an action and when we observe someone else doing it. The input text suggests they might be the key to understanding how empathy works on a neurological level.
That's a compelling idea, but it's not without its critics, though, is it? Some researchers question whether mirror neurons are truly distinct cells or if their activity is just a byproduct of other processes. It's a lively debate in the field.
It is, and it's one we'll be diving into today. We'll be exploring the role of mirror neurons in empathy, the different ways empathy is measured, and the various factors that can influence its development and impairment. Let's start by examining how mirror neurons work.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Let's unpack this, shall we?
So we're delving into this fascinating idea of mirror neurons, these brain cells that fire both when we do something and when we see someone else doing the same thing.
Yeah, it's like our brains are subtly mimicking the actions we observe, almost as if we're experiencing them ourselves. It's a pretty wild concept, right?
It is. And the input material suggests this mirroring might be fundamental to how empathy works, how we understand and share the feelings of others.
Which is a huge leap, isn't it? Going from mimicking an action to actually feeling another person's emotions. How do we bridge that gap?
Well, that's where things get really interesting. The text talks about different types of empathy, cognitive empathy, where we understand someone's perspective, and emotional empathy, where we actually share their feelings.
Right, and the research seems to indicate that mirror neurons might play a more significant role in that cognitive aspect, understanding the why behind someone's actions and emotions, rather than directly experiencing the emotions themselves. Like, I can understand why someone might be sad without necessarily feeling sad myself.
Exactly. It's like watching a movie. You can understand a character's motivations and predict their actions based on the context, even if you don't personally feel everything they're feeling. It's about understanding their narrative, their story.
Yeah, that makes sense. But what about those moments when you do feel what someone else is feeling? Where does that intense emotional connection come from? Is that still the mirror neurons at work, or is it something else entirely?
That's a really good question. And honestly, the research isn't entirely clear on that yet. The input material touches on conditions like psychopathy, where individuals might have intact cognitive empathy, they understand others' perspectives, but lack effective empathy, that emotional resonance.
Oh, that's fascinating. So someone with psychopathy might be able to understand why someone is afraid, but they wouldn't feel that fear themselves? Almost like an intellectual understanding without the emotional component?
Precisely. And that distinction is crucial because it challenges the idea that mirror neurons are solely responsible for empathy. It suggests a more complex picture, one where different brain regions and processes contribute to the overall experience of empathy.
So it's not just about these mirror neurons firing away, but rather a complex interplay of different brain regions, some handling the cognitive aspects of empathy, others the emotional ones?
It seems that way. And the research on conditions like psychopathy and borderline personality disorder, which the input text mentions, further complicates the picture, highlighting how these different aspects of empathy can be disrupted or impaired.
It's a puzzle with so many pieces, isn't it? But it's a puzzle worth solving because understanding empathy is key to understanding so much about human interaction, connection, and even morality.
So we're talking about mirror neurons, these fascinating brain cells that seem to fire both when we perform an action and when we observe someone else doing the same thing. It's like our brains are subtly mimicking the actions we see.
Yeah, and it's a pretty mind-blowing concept, right? This idea that our brains might be mirroring the world around us. And that this mirroring could be the key to understanding how we connect with others, how we empathize.
Exactly. The input material dives deep into this connection between mirror neurons and empathy. And it's, well, it's complicated, to say the least.
It is. I mean, on the one hand, you have these studies with macaque monkeys showing these mirror neurons firing when they perform an action and when they observe someone else performing the same action. It's like their brains are creating a simulation of the observed action.
Right. And that makes intuitive sense, doesn't it? If our brains are simulating the actions of others, it could help us understand their intentions, their goals.
It could be the basis for how we learn by imitation.
But then the input material also mentions that adult macaques don't really seem to learn by imitation. So what's the deal with that? If these mirror neurons are so important for imitation, why aren't adult monkeys using them that way?
That's a great question. And it highlights one of the big controversies surrounding mirror neurons, their exact function. It seems their role is more nuanced than simply mimicking actions.
It might be more about understanding the why behind the actions rather than just the how.
Yeah. So more about understanding intentions and goals, like you said earlier?
Precisely. The input material mentions studies where researchers recorded mirror neuron activity in monkeys while they observed different goal-directed actions.
And what they found was that the neurons fired differently depending on the goal of the action, not just the action itself.
Oh, that's interesting. So the mirror neurons aren't just blindly copying the movements. They're actually taking into account the context, the intention behind the action?
It seems that way. And that has implications for how we understand empathy.
If mirror neurons are involved in understanding intentions, they could also be playing a role in understanding the emotions of others, which is a core component of empathy.
But even that connection between mirror neurons and empathy isn't straightforward, is it? The input material mentions studies showing a link, but also studies that haven't found a strong connection. It's a really mixed bag.
It is. And it gets even more complex when you consider conditions like autism. Some researchers have proposed that a dysfunction in the mirror neuron system might be a contributing factor to autism, but the evidence is far from conclusive. In fact, some studies have found normal mirror neuron activity in individuals with autism.
So it's not as simple as saying broken mirror neurons, therefore autism. It's a much more complex picture.
Exactly. And that's where the real challenge lies, in teasing apart the complexities of the mirror neuron system, in understanding its role in social cognition, empathy, and even language.
It's a puzzle with many pieces, and we're still trying to figure out how they all fit together.
It's a fascinating puzzle, though, and one that has the potential to unlock so much about what it means to be human. The fact that we can even begin to study these complex processes at the level of individual neurons is just incredible.
So, we've been talking about mirror neurons, these intriguing brain cells that fire both when we perform an action and when we observe someone else doing the same thing. It's like our brains are subtly mimicking the actions we see.
Yeah, it's a fascinating concept, this idea that our brains might be mirroring the world around us and that this mirroring could be the key to understanding empathy and social connection. Mm-hmm. But the input material we've been discussing highlights just how complex the system really is.
It really does. I mean, the initial research with macaque monkeys seemed to suggest a straightforward link between mirror neurons and action understanding. But then the text points out that adult macaques don't really learn by imitation, which raises questions about the neuron's exact function. It's not as simple as monkey see, monkey do, is it?
Not at all. And then there's Churchland's argument in Brain Trust that individual neurons, even mirror neurons, are too simple to understand complex intentions. She suggests it's the neural network, not individual cells, that grasps the why behind an action.
Right.
And Hayes's theory throws another wrench in the works, suggesting that mirror neurons aren't an evolutionary adaptation for action understanding, but rather a byproduct of associative learning through social interaction. So their role in empathy might be learned, not innate. That's a pretty big challenge to the established narrative.
Definitely. And the more recent research mentioned, showing mirror neuron activation even with non-biological stimuli, further complicates the picture. It seems their role is much broader than initially thought, extending beyond simply mirroring biological actions.
It does. So where does that leave us?
Well, the input material suggests that mirror neurons might be part of a larger, more complex system involved in social cognition, but their precise role in empathy, imitation, and understanding intentions is still being debated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a puzzle with so many pieces, but the puzzle worth solving. The field of social neuroscience, as described in the text, offers a promising framework for integrating biological and social perspectives to understand these complex processes. The variety of research methods, from fMRI and EEG to hormone studies and lesion analysis, is really impressive.
It is. And the emphasis on multi-level analyses, bridging the gap between neural activity and social behavior, seems crucial for making progress.
Absolutely. Though, as the text notes, relying on correlations rather than causal relationships is a major challenge in social neuroscience research. It's difficult to isolate specific variables and definitively link brain activity to social phenomena. The example of interpreting fMRI data highlights this difficulty.
That's a good point.
It underscores the importance of combining different research methods like self-reports, hormone manipulation, and SCRs to get a more complete picture and move closer to causal explanations.
Exactly. It's a fascinating and evolving field. And while there's still much we don't understand, the research on mirror neurons and social neuroscience has opened up exciting new avenues for exploring the complexities of the human brain and social behavior. Thanks for joining me on this deep dive into the world of mirror neurons and social cognition. Until next time!